In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. When I was in London, I was also able to go along to Westminster Abbey for evensong, choral evensong. Interestingly, it was the middle of the week, nothing special, and yet the church was full. I reckon there must have been about 200 people there in the congregation that day, which is interesting how that very traditional service is obviously a great magnet to people searching for the presence of God somewhere in their lives. Westminster Abbey, as you know, is full of monuments, statues, plaques on the wall to all sorts of people. Politicians, poets, musicians, soldiers, and some even quite relatively ordinary people, people we would never have heard of. All sorts of different people commemorated there, which is, after all, what heaven is like. There will be all sorts of people there, as I was saying to the children, even people we do not expect and perhaps don't particularly like, they will be there too. In the Orthodox Church, as far as I know, they do not sing the canticle Glory to God in the Highest that we do in our communion services Sunday by Sunday. At that point in the service, though, they sing the Beatitudes, Blessed are the poor in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, etc., etc. And there are a number of very lovely and haunting musical settings in the typical Russian Orthodox manner. These words of the Beatitudes, blessed are the meek, the merciful, the peacemakers, the pure in heart, they might be regarded as a kind of blueprint for saintliness. Jesus tells us that the people who have such qualities will see God. God will call them his children. And twice he says, the kingdom of heaven is theirs. That surely is what we would understand the reward of the saints to be. But in its liturgy, the Orthodox Church does something startlingly unexpected. Immediately before singing the Beatitudes, they always sing another verse of Scripture. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The word kingdom forms a bridge between those two portions of Scripture. But what a difference in the circumstances. The words, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, were spoken, as you will remember, by the penitent thief crucified alongside Jesus. And Jesus replied to him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. The same promise that is made to those who are pure in heart, merciful peacemakers in the Beatitudes. And in bringing together these two pieces of Scripture, the Orthodox Church is publicly proclaiming a very deep insight about the kingdom of heaven. That is, that it is for saints and sinners alike. And that furthermore, the dividing line between them is often not as clear-cut as we might imagine. You see, the greatest saints were often convinced that they were the greatest sinners. We tend to think that the saints had it all sewn up when it came to holiness, and that they knew all the answers. But no, that is not the attitude of a saint. That is the attitude of a Pharisee, a person with a closed mind, a person who is so sure of himself that he has no need of others to teach him. He has no need of scripture except to bolster the position he has already arrived at. He has no further need of God even, because he thinks God has already given him all he needs. Those are the people to whom Jesus said, "Woe to you," in that passage from Luke's Gospel we heard this morning. Because that is not how a saint feels. The starting point is the first of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor, in Luke's version. Blessed are the poor in spirit, in Matthew's version. A modern translation of Matthew's version is, "How blessed are those who know their need of God." A rather free rendering, but helpful in getting to the meaning of the idea. To be a saint, you must first know that you need God, and that you need the grace of God. You must be poor, materially and spiritually. The two can go together. And that is why the greatest of saints often thought of themselves as the greatest of sinners. We know, we have learnt recently about Mother Teresa, who led a life of exemplary holiness, and yet she had this deep sense of being very far from God. And that is a mark of saintliness. Because saints know that, measured against the boundless goodness of God shown to us in Jesus Christ, they, like we, fall miserably short. Many of them feel, as indeed we feel, that it is very hard to be a Christian, and that Jesus seems to set impossible ideals when he said, "You must keep the whole law and not omit a single letter or detail," and that you must keep the spirit as well as the letter of the commandments. But instead of falling into hopeless despair, of thinking it's not worth trying, or of making excuses, the response of the true saint is different. They have not been afraid to recognize their shortcomings and to own up to them before God. This is because they have confidence in God, confidence that he will accept them, and that his grace will be sufficient for them. For it is only by God's grace that sinners become saints. And a saint then is someone who is aware of his poverty, who knows that he falls short, but is not downcast because of it. And he is not downcast because he knows he is totally dependent on the grace and mercy of God. And God is totally dependable. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It is the request of saint and sinner alike. It has to be a request and not a demand. A request that relies on the willingness of God to grant favours to those who do not deserve them. But it is a request we can make with confidence, because as soon as we realise that we have to make it, we will be blessed. The request opens up the way to the kingdom of heaven, because to all who truly turn to him, be they saint or sinner. Jesus replies, today you will be with me in paradise. Amen.